It's time again for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug DeFeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Glad to be with you here in studio today, and welcome to today's episode of the Coaching Perspective Radio Show. I'm your host, Doug DeFeller, and our guest for today is Dee Elliott, and her topic is, why is it more important now than ever to have a formal corporate mentoring program? So mentoring is what we're going to be talking about. But before we start with Dee, let me give you a little bit of her background, because she's too modest to give you all of this. She has a multidisciplinary background, including 29 years of consultative sales operations and executive leadership experience. And throughout her career, she has trained, managed, and mentored hundreds of individuals using her diverse business knowledge and educational background. She's a true visionary. She understands the what needs to be done to develop leaders and move an organization forward. And she considers guiding others to succeed to be her greatest passion and measure of success. She's a graduate of USC, has a Bachelor of Arts degree in education and a California teaching credential. She's a native Californian. A native. It's hard to find a native Californian. And she resides in Irvine, California with her husband. Well, Dee, welcome to the Coaching Perspective Radio Show.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. Your topic is a fascinating one. And we all talk about mentors, but I've never had any actual business experience with somebody with a professional mentoring program. So this is a learning experience for
me. It is rare. I don't run into too many people that do what I do, and I like that.
That's where we want to be. About a niche of one.
Yeah.
Well, look, tell us what you did, your background before you started what you're doing now.
Okay. So as you said, I graduated from USC, and I spent 20 years developing a successful business career in sales management. Regional sales and marketing, primarily, for multiple transportation companies in North America. That included North American Van Lines, United Van Lines, Serva, and a couple of others. But always while I was doing this, my passion to help others see potential not yet realized was always what I liked. So I did a lot of mentoring, and it kind of moved me to create a mentoring business when a nonprofit approached me, a national nonprofit, and said, we'd like you to create a mentoring program for our group. I did that around 2000, and then we did that with other chapters of the group, and then I moved it to another nonprofit, the National Association of Women Business Owners, did that for 10 years there, and then I was referred into corporate, so I kind of grew organically into my business while I was doing a whole nother business at the same time.
Oh, so you didn't really start out to create a mentoring business.
Business was not the word that I was using then. It was just a mentoring program for nonprofits, and it just kind of led me where I was supposed to go, and I love it.
Wonderful. So that brings us up to now. So tell us a little bit about your business, who your clients are, how they find you, and what you do for them.
Okay. So the DEC Strategic Mentoring Model provides formal, structured 9-month mentoring programs for corporations who want to move their top performers, high profile, or diversity candidates up the ladder quickly. So what we see from management reports and from our surveys is increased productivity, developing skills for upward mobility, cultural knowledge, and self-awareness are many of the areas of improvement. We spend a lot of time talking about the soft skills, because we know that people can learn the technical skills from their supervisors or from business classes. But the soft skills are the ones that we feel are the most important, and all the research shows that the higher up you get in any organization, the more you have to have the people skills, especially self-awareness. So we do a lot of training on that.
So is your mentoring more for management level?
No. It is for management level, but it depends on the company. One of the largest companies we worked with went all the way down to the maintenance group and all the way up to the senior vice presidents.
Wow.
So we feel, and the people that we work with tend to agree, that anyone that improves at who they are, what they are, becomes a better version of themselves, is better for the company all the way around.
Okay.
So our mentoring program, you know, looks at communication and leadership skills, collaboration, innovation, so many proficiencies. But each organization determines which area they want to focus on and what's important to them as far as what proficiencies they want to grow in these leaders. And then DEC tailors our program to them. So within that 9-month program, we provide tools to enhance their mentoring partnerships and improve their careers and personal lives by adding DISC, which I'm an authorized partner with Wiley for, and emotional intelligence. We do assessment and training of that, and then we tailor the rest of our workshops to what their needs are, whether it's critical feedback, change management, or conflict management. So those workshops are included in our 9 months. And then we also have challenge and solution workshops that we do throughout the program to make sure everybody's on track. And typically we work with customers that have enough employees to have 15 mentees and 15 mentors, but we can go up to as many as 50 mentees and 50 mentors. And after that, it logistically gets very tough to have the group meetings. So, and then we also have a separate business model where we work with smaller groups or individuals. It's typically interns that corporations may have, and they want us to come in and do a mini mentoring program for them because they want them to have that experience. Or we work with board of directors to teach them how to mentor new board of directors that come in.
Boy, you do go from the maintenance personnel to the board of directors. That covers a full spectrum.
Yeah, everybody has a need for improvement at times.
Wonderful. And so what's your sweet spot in terms of clients? What's the ideal client you're looking for?
You know, we've worked with companies as large as the Irvine Company that have thousands of employees, and we like that as well. We've worked with banks that have maybe 200 employees, and anywhere in between, and bigger would be our sweet spot. We like to work with companies that have a clear focus on developing people, bringing them up quickly, and also are aware of how important the soft skills are.
The key thing that all of us, anybody in any business, always asks is, how do you get your customers? What's your marketing secret?
I'm not sure I have a secret, but I will say that 99% of my business is from word of mouth. So,
That is so old-fashioned.
I know, isn't it? but that doesn't mean that I just sit at home and wait for them to refer me out. You know, I'm involved in a lot of organizations. I'm on boards. So the exposure is there, and I'm continually trying to learn new things, be at workshops myself, so that I can be mentored and taught what the latest and greatest stuff is out there.
You know, you just made a wonderful point that I have never heard before, okay? Frequently, I hear people tell me when I ask them how they market is, well, our business is all referral, our business is all word of mouth, which sounds like, and I think most of us assume, that that is a passive activity, that I'm sitting at home waiting for somebody to call.
Right.
But you just said, no, I'm out there, I'm active.
Yeah.
Word of mouth still involves a lot of footwork to get the word of mouth,
absolutely,
doesn't it?
Absolutely. I was the president of the National Association of Women Business Owners in Orange County here 2 years ago, and was on the board for 8 years prior to that.
Okay.
And had my mentoring program there for years and years. But that and, you know, other organizations like ATD and the International Coach Federation and a million others that I try to be a regular at so that I can see the people that I work with, and I hire some of them to do some of our work, and it's a fun job.
So to make word of mouth work, you have to be front of mind. You've got to be on their mind. They've got to run into you. They've got to see you. You've got to keep that relationship warm and ongoing.
That's right.
All of those things, right?
Yeah, you've got to be out there. And
see, I'm so glad you brought that up, because people just think that word of mouth means, oh, I've got this great business, I don't have to do anything, people just call me.
Exactly. No, it's a little more work than that. I wish it was that easy, Doug.
Well, you know, while we're talking about that, you mentioned to me that you're getting ready to take a trip. You travel quite a bit, too. So what's the geographic limits of your business?
Well, right now we go anywhere in the United States. So I'm mostly on the East Coast right now, it seems. So I have a lot of long flights and fun, but I love seeing the new cities and getting to know the culture in those cities and meeting the people. And they really are different everywhere. People are different everywhere. So that is enjoyable. But we can go anywhere in the United States.
Okay. Clear up for me when, you know, my first impression when I heard of you, your name was mentioned to me. When I heard of you, I thought, okay, a mentoring program. You probably sell a manual that tells me what I should do to mentor people. But you sort of expanded way beyond that. You talk about the fact that you're involved. There's a set program. There's a menu. It's a pick and choose what I want to stress. There's workshops involved. There's assessments. You're very active in setting up and in managing the program. Is that
yes? That is that
right
is
assumption?
Absolutely correct. They work with me first and foremost, and we strategize on what the best route is to the achievement or results that they want. And so I would go into a company, and we would start out by finding out why they think they need a mentoring program and what they're trying to accomplish. And from there, we would talk about what things they think are important for their leaders to have, whether it's a proficiency like communication or transparency on that end of the spectrum. And we would put together what we were going to measure. And DEC does its own measurement as well in that. And then we have an onboarding and recruitment section of our program where we give them tools on how to recruit people for the program and take them through the entire onboarding process to get them ready to kick off for the letter to go out to all their employees to sign up for the program.
Okay. Well, look, I hate making people wait. I've listened to podcasts or radio shows myself, and I go, oh, I want to do that. I want to talk to that person. And I have to wait to the very end to get the information. How do people get a hold of you? And you keep saying DEC, and I'm sure they don't know that that's DEC.
Yes. Yes. They could go to my website, which is www.decmentoring.com, or they could go to my Facebook page, which is just D. Elliott, or they could go to my LinkedIn profile. I have both a personal and a professional one that's just DEC Mentoring.
Okay, and that's DEC.
DEC, correct.
Not like a patio deck.
Right, right. Stands for D. Elliott Consulting.
Gee, how original.
I know. But you wouldn't have known that, right?
I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't been to your site.
That's right.
Okay, so the question we ask all of our guests, guiding principle. What is your guiding principle? What kind of holds you always in a good place?
I think our main guiding principle is trying to see good in everyone and bring out the potential that they don't see.
Oh, I like that.
So many people don't know how good they are. And with just a little belief in them and confidence and the DEC program, we see people just turn into better versions of themselves. So I think that's our main guiding principle. I would say we have others that we live by in our organization. Be organized, be flexible. If a client comes to us and says, you know, can we tweak this a little? Because that doesn't really work for us. I'm all ears. Unless it goes against our guidelines that we know work for the program. Be dedicated. Do whatever you least want to do first in the morning. Be confident. Be appreciative. Be optimistic. Be a continual learner. Be dependable, which is probably the most important. Do what you say you're going to do. My father taught me that a long time ago. I thought everybody was like that until one of my business partners said, no, they're not.
Such a simple rule.
Yeah. And the last two are to be human and to give to others, because we know that when we give, we receive tenfold back.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, thank you very much for sharing that. Well, look, our producer's waving us off. He's going to run a quick commercial, and then we will be right back. So don't go away. And we're back from the commercial, and we're talking to D. Elliott of DEC Mentoring. And we're launching into the conversation why it's more important now than ever to have a formal corporate mentoring program. So, Dee, tell me, how is DEC's program different than other internal or, I didn't even know there were online mentoring programs, but apparently there are.
Yeah.
How's yours different?
Well, I think, first of all, our matching system sets us apart from just about everyone. We have a proprietary matching system with a 96% success rate to ensure that our pairs are successful right off the bat. And we even beat places like Match.com. But my friends keep saying, when am I going to do this for, dating? But don't have time to do that right now. But anyway, so our matching is... unlike the internal programs where they just kind of throw people together because they're in the same department or same division, we match on values and skills and demographics and all kinds of things to make sure that the two are a good fit for each other first before they get into any of the teaching or learning. Just like any relationship, I think, whether it's husband and wife, friend to friend, if you have similar values, you're more likely to get along and
sounds
work
kind
together.
Of basic, but I don't know that I've ever... You know, I've sat in so many business meetings, and it was like, oh, we got somebody starting, or, gee, Joe needs some mentoring, so who's got some time?
Exactly. You
know, and that's about the level of matching. So to do that, you must have to do quite a bit of work up front to identify those things that you want to match them with.
We do. Actually, the companies we work with provide us a list of the mentors and mentees, and then they all go on our website to take the application. And the application is suited for either mentors or mentees, and so we find out all about them. And I worked for years with psychologists, educators, and technology gurus to make this matching system what it is. And people keep saying, don't you want to add this or that or the other? And I say, no, I don't want to touch it because the success rate is so fabulous right now. But that really sets us apart from the internal programs that do just kind of throw people together the way you talk about. We also get a great cross-section because we don't batch by department or division. So we have a really good cross-section of the company, which helps us later on when we're talking to the champion of the company, identify things that are happening in their company that perhaps their management is too afraid to tell them. So that helps. But we also see growth in our mentors and our mentees. So the mentors usually say, I've gotten just as much out of this as the mentee, and I've grown just as much, because they're able to revisit things they haven't thought about in many years. They're able to hone their communication skills through using surfacing and questioning techniques rather than being directive as they are at the levels that they are. And so that, I think, matching really sets us apart. The second thing is we have a 9-month program, and truly that it takes, I would say, 2 months at least for people to get to know, like, trust, and open up to each other when you're just put together. And then people work on all of their goals and their personal development after that. And I've actually had mentors tell me that I didn't understand why it was 9 months, and now I do, because it takes a while to kind of get it going. And then we have set guidelines for our program for our mentors and mentees, which if they follow, we will tell them you will be successful. And we make sure that we are on top of them on these guidelines all the time. So our mentors are the top executives of the company. And our mentees are whatever level the company wants us to have. And so... instead of just saying, here's your mentee, go get them, you know, we do an extensive amount of training for them.
Yeah, the matching is really a kind of a surprise to me, because the matching that I see going on in business most of the time is, Joe needs some technical mentoring, so you've got the technical mentoring,
right.
Paul, we'll pair you up. Or Joe's new, you've been around a long time, Sally, so you go sit with Joe and show him how to find his way to the parking lot, you know?
Exactly.
And that's about it.
Yeah, yeah. I think the matching is key, and I have had people say to me, I can't believe you match us together. We have the same number of children in our family, and it was like 9. We grew up in the same state. We both went to the same church at times. I mean, things, just crazy things that we don't measure, but somehow it came together. So, yeah, it's fascinating.
You reminded me of the current TV program Bull, where they do the jury thing and
yes.
creating the artificial jury that matches.
That's right.
That's your program.
Yes, yes. Well, we also have some things that are different, you know, within our program, and it wasn't always this way, but I added it a few years back because I thought it was so important. We added the DISC and we added emotional intelligence, both assessment and training. So in our program, we all know that DISC is a great personality assessment, and it's easy to remember, and it's a common language. But for us, our mentors and mentees then know each other better because they know the letters of their personalities and their styles, and they can also do comparison reports and find out how to interact with each other. So I love that. And then the emotional intelligence, of course, is just, in my opinion, probably one of the greatest things since sliced bread that has come out in the last couple of years and been popularized. You know, the research, Doug, shows that the higher up you get in a company, the more self-aware you have to be. And so our executives are tuned in to the emotional intelligence workshop because they all know that how important it is in their line of work.
Do you think you see, you kind of touched on it, that the mentors get a lot out of the program. Mm-hmm. Do you see a lot of growth in the mentors? Do you get that kind of feedback too?
I do, and we get that feedback all the time. The mentors go in it thinking that they're just going to be telling people what to do, and we quickly change that in the beginning because we let them know that that's not mentoring. That's what you do with the people that report to you. But this is a little different. And so a lot of them, you know, although they think they have done coaching, and many of them have, they haven't learned a lot of the surfacing and questioning techniques that you probably use as a coach and I've used on occasion. And they haven't been trained in the soft skills as much as you would think, the people at the top.
Absolutely.
So that, you know, it's just not something that when they were coming up the ranks was as important as the technical. And then the other thing that separates us is we do a complete measurement and assessment. So that by the mid-year and by the end of the program, I have metrics to give to the champion to say, this is where we're growing in these proficiencies. We also do a engagement and satisfaction assessment. We do surveys twice during the program so that we can actually measure the growth of the entire group and then provide that to the champion. And then I have coaches. This is the other thing that's a little bit different from my program. I hire coaches to come in and do coaching calls, and I have the whole, you know, paperwork on the questions that they ask and the information that they glean, and they call every mentee and every mentor twice during the program to make sure they're on track, following our guidelines, and to see if they have any challenges or if we need to get anybody back on track. So that's pretty different as well. And those are all certified coaches.
So give me an example of an objective in a mentoring program and how you would measure if that objective was achieved.
So the mentees set goals for themselves, and the mentors work on them achieving those goals with them. However, there are proficiencies that the company says they feel are important for their leaders, and the mentor will rate the mentee several times during the year on those proficiencies. It might be communication, it might be leadership skills, it might be decision making, or several other things that they've determined are important. And so they're rating them, seeing them, and they've talked to people and they know where their strengths and weaknesses lie. And so that's how we do that.
Okay.
And then also when our coaches call, they talk about to the mentors and the mentees, they have a whole list of things that we want to check the box. Have they improved in this? Do you think they've improved in that? So we do what they call adaptive testing in a way, because we're doing it from all different sides.
So it's not just a feel good, hey, I had a good time. I'm really glad I got to meet Paul. This was a fun program, you know.
Right. No, it's a little more than that. Our clients demanded it, you know. How everyone is wanting to see the metrics.
Well, it's the same challenge that we face in coaching,
yes.
Where it's how do you measure?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you coached them, they enjoyed the coaching session. What happened as a result?
Exactly. Yeah. And how is that going to drive results, right?
Okay.
And then the other thing I think that's different about our program is confidentiality is our holy grail. And when we're in corporate, we feel that that is of the utmost importance. Internal programs don't even mention the word confidentiality. And so That means that everything that is done between the mentor and mentee stays between them unless they're talking to DEC. And we share all of our metrics and everything that happens throughout the program as this is what the group increase was in this or whatever. But it's a safe place for them, and they know it. And because we stress this confidentiality, and they even have to sign a mentoring contract, which confidentiality is a part of, that says, I will keep this mentoring relationship confidential.
Excellent.
So from both the mentors and the mentees.
Now you can have real conversations.
They can. And they can open up about fears and things that they may have been too afraid to mention in a corporate setting.
Well, those are quite a few things that sort of differentiate you from my first blush of what a mentoring program is.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And all of this, is any of this done online, or is all of this done in face-to-face setups and then follow-ups?
The only thing that's done online and via technology is either the application that they fill out in the beginning, the surveys, the proficiency evals, or any of the communication that we have with them.
Okay.
Otherwise, our group meetings are 6 or 7 times a year, depending on the company, and those are all in person. And even companies that have people in different states oftentimes will fly them in for the group meetings. And they can then get to be with their mentees and also be in the camaraderie of the group.
Okay, so you just woke me up there with the word group meetings, because I've been focusing on this mentor and mentee relationship, which you provide the structure for them to work together. But now you've said there's group meetings.
Right.
Who's the group?
Well, the group is whoever the mentees and mentors are.
The whole group.
And yes,
within a
the
company.
Whole group. The whole group that they have as the mentors and mentee team, and then my group. So we're doing either training on the DISC or emotional intelligence, or we're doing challenges and solutions on, or we're teaching and we're finding out what went wrong, what is going right, and then we share with them throughout the program themes of things that are working, and then opportunities for growth for them to get better. So we're continually meeting with the group and both individually and in these group settings to make sure they're on track, to make sure they're following our guidelines, and to let them know what they're doing right and what they can improve on.
Wonder. When you talk about positive effects that they can look forward to, you know, how do you measure that? What are the positive effects that I'm going to get out of having a formal mentoring program?
I think one of the most important things to the champion is that because we have such a great cross-section of company, that we can find out and feel and know what the undercurrent of the company is. So if there's a problem with trust, a problem with change management, a problem with conflict, a problem with the executive team being cliquish, we know about it because we hear everything.
You're tapping into the culture's health.
We are. We're tapping into everything. And so that, I think, is number one for the champion, because what the champions have told me is that their executives have never told them this. And sometimes those executives don't even know it. It's coming from the troops down below. You know, definitely we're developing leadership talent and bench strength. That's key. Because, you know, it takes so long to develop leaders that this is like a little mini accelerated program to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It moves top performers up quickly and high potentials. It can fulfill diversity needs if that's the reason that the company wants us to come in. Some of our companies say we need more women and people of color in management. These are the people we want you to bring in, and we want you to take them through this quick program. So that can work. It drives inclusion by promoting diversity of thought and style. You're working with all different departments. Mentees say, gosh, I never knew that their department did that. I have a whole new picture now, and I work with them. And so now when I meet with them, we can do things better because I have an understanding. And I also have an understanding of this executive's view of the company rather than mine from down here. And so that trains them on those leadership talents, which I think are so critical. And I had a company that immediately when I went in, I got the feeling that nobody knew anybody. There were silos everywhere. And I asked at the first group meeting with the mentees, so are there silos at this company? And everybody said, yes, there are. So we encourage people to go to other departments and learn from them and find out how they can interact better. And some people in smaller companies don't have anywhere to advance. So we encourage them to look at other areas in that organization that they might be able to advance. So it definitely encourages better working relationships between departments, for sure. And a better overall picture, I would say. Strengthens competitive advantage in the marketplace, because when they're recruiting people, if they can say they have a mentoring program, especially the millennials love that, because they know that means that this company understands and really puts programs into place that can develop us, and that's important to them. The undercurrents we talked about, I think one of the things that you can expect in our program is that everyone will become a better version of themselves, whether it's the mentors or the mentees, and that is the excitement to me. You know, we had a girl that was, she wanted to work on presenting, but nobody had told her. Everybody looked down when she was presenting and at team meetings, and it was because she did this funny thing with her face and scrunched it up, and she did not know this.
No feedback.
No feedback from anyone. They just all looked down. And the mentor asked me, I don't know what to do. And I said, you have to tell her. You have to hold the mirror up, because this is a gift for her. And those are gifts, when people tell you you're doing something that if you just changed a little bit could just change your entire future. And she told her, and she had no idea. It was an aha moment for this young woman, and it was just so exciting to see the whole work in progress of the mentoring portion of it, and then her understand it and change it and become a better version of herself. It was fabulous. So those types of things we see all the time, and we share those whenever we can. 80% of our mentees in the larger companies, or in the smaller companies, are more promotable by the end of our program.
Okay.
We measure that. 30% in the larger companies are typically promoted by the end of the program.
Wow.
So I think that's huge. And we tried to get away from it being about promotion, because we tell them right up front, this is not about getting a promotion. This is about becoming more promotable. But then a lot of them just got promotions. So that was exciting. And because engagement is at an all-time low, you and I were talking about this earlier, you know, the latest Gallup poll says 87% of employees either are disengaged or actively disengaged.
Yeah.
So our program, I think, re-engages people. It gives them faith that the company really cares about them. We hear it all the time that, you know, I might have left had it not been for this program, if I was not in this program. And these are from top performers that are saying this. So that, I think, can really impact.
Well, it creates a two-way communication, and it creates a communication around the employee. So it's mm-hmm. not about the tasks that you're giving me to do. Mm-hmm. We're talking about me. And that's the most fascinating subject we could talk about.
I know.
Right.
I know. And everybody likes to do
yeah,
that, right?
Everybody likes to do that.
So there was a study by the Jackson Organization, which companies that focus on employee value see a return on equity and assets three times that of organizations that don't.
Wow.
So just, you know, showing employees that you value them. It's such a simple thing, isn't it?
It is.
But we forget about it when we're rushing and in the corporate world and we're warriors and we're going so fast.
Too busy to be nice.
Yes, yes, yeah. So that's pretty
okay,
much that.
Okay, good. Well, look, there's another question, but let me kind of frame it. I want to, you know, the topic we agreed on, or that you gave me, was why it's more important now than ever. And, you know, we're going through a unique time now. I mean, we've, because of the 2008 downturn, we have a whole period where nobody was brought up, where
right.
a lot of people left the fields that they were in. So I'm seeing a vast shortage of people that are technically trained.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at the demographics, and we're looking at the exodus of upper-level management at astounding rates all of a sudden. And then we're looking at the millennials coming in that are totally different from those who are on their way going out. How does your mentoring program relate to that?
Well, you know, the engagement, I think, is number one.
Absolutely.
For the millennials. But the Gallup poll also said that the skills shortage, which you were just mentioning, and the boomer exodus, so all the boomers that are leaving and not being refilled, are now in dire competition for the top 10% of skilled employees, to your point.
Yeah.
And so they're looking for more than just a job today. And the mentoring program shows young recruits and people that may want to transfer over to this company that this company really cares about developing us, helping us, allowing us to make an impact. The millennials, they want meaning, mission, and mobility. Those are the three
meaning,
things.
Meaning, mission, and mobility, the three M's.
Right. So they want contribution. Will I have the ability to make a real difference? Will I be more than a cog in a machine? That's important to them. You know, we all just kind of got into the cog and started turning the wheel.
Yeah.
They want opportunity. Will I, you know, will I have career and learning opportunities? Development is so important to them. Can I progress? Where can I go? And then environment, is the company inclusive? Is challenging the status quo okay? They want to be able to do that. They're not like so many, you know, 20 years ago that you never would say a thing if somebody, you know, said something that was above you. Will I be recognized and rewarded, you know, for what I get? So those are the new millennials coming in and what's important to them. And I think it's our job in corporations and those of us that work with corporations to realize it and help them to grow.
It's so difficult because they're coming in and asking these questions. They're relatively new compared to the person they're asking the question of, the boomer who's on the way out.
Right.
And the boomer, no matter how current they are in their thinking, has got to be, to some extent, going, why are you asking that? I had to wait 15 years before I could ask that question.
Exactly.
And they've been here 15 months.
Or maybe five.
Or maybe five, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know... It's just a transition that we're going through that I think the successful corporations are going to know what they want and make some changes to identify those things and then bring them on board. And it doesn't take that much, you know. Bringing in a formal mentoring program can, you know, encourage the new people. We had one company that wanted to bring everybody through the mentoring program as soon as they got into the company so they'd know the company culture and they'd learn about other people in the company quickly.
Part of their onboarding.
Yeah, kind of as part of their onboarding, which I thought was a great idea. You know, others just want to be able to reward top performers with having access to all these top executives, with all the group meetings and networking that we do in those, and also giving them this learning opportunity. There was a study at the University of North Carolina's Business School that came out that said 85% of global companies report an urgent need for employees with leadership potential, aka HIPOs or high potential talent. The problem is only 40% say their current high potentials can meet their future business needs, and only 21% are satisfied with the bench strength they have. So there's DEC. We increase the bench strength. You know, we can move high potentials and top performers up more quickly. And, you know, the future leaders need these types of things. And because there is such a lack of that pool right now, I think that formal mentoring programs are going to be the way of the future. And there was another study that I saw that said that budget cuts are hurting. Keeping up with economic growth is hurting companies, you know, with this, as far as the shortage of high potential and future leaders goes, bad bosses that are still there, and the fact that it takes time. So the research says on average it takes 20 months to develop mid-level managers and 38 months for senior leaders. And our program is 9 months and can do a lot of this quickly.
You know, I'm kind of shaking my head here. The audience can't hear it. Maybe you can hear my head rattling around there. But, you know, with the budget cuts, with the economy the way it is, I sit in on meetings with companies that identified that we need some new managers. We need managers to staff this new department, to staff this new initiative, to staff the growth that we're spending money to get. So we expect to have that need 18 months from now, so we'll start looking 17 months from now.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and no strategy to get it.
No strategy to get it, and a lot of economic pressure to not bring the people in early. You know, we still have this attitude that says, I hired you yesterday. You've been here a whole week. What do you mean you can't do the job completely?
I know.
And it
training
takes time.
It
takes time.
And cultural assimilation, you know.
Yeah.
Most onboarding programs don't really explain the culture. You don't learn about the culture until you get into it. And at that time, you know, sometimes it's too late. The other thing that's interesting is that we see people that sometimes are not a fit for that company in our mentoring programs. And occasionally they will say, you know, I had one company that had this, he was going to be the next CFO, and they were bringing him up. And by the end of the mentoring program, he realized this was not the company for him. And I said, well, that's good.
It's a win-win.
Yeah, because you don't have to spend any more time or money with him and then lose him 3-5 years down the road. And when I worked with the women's business owners, we had young women business owners, you know, just green and brand new businesses that they started. And by the end of the program, they said, I realized I don't want to be a business owner. Too many hats to wear, too many things to think about. I'd rather go back to corporate America. So it's a clarifying moment, too, I think. And that makes it nice. But gosh, Doug, you know, beyond things like executive coaching like you do, which a lot of companies won't pay for or only pay for the very top to have them.
And there is a tendency to want to do that.
Yeah. Face-to-face time with senior leaders, which a lot of our mentees say, had I not been in this program, I never would have ever talked to these people. Or joining a professional organization like the National Association of Women Business Owners, where you can learn kind of on the job there. One of the most successful ways is to prepare your future leaders from the University of North Carolina study, they said, is through formal mentoring programs. And I happen to agree.
I'm shocked.
But listen to this. They say that they predict that over the next 3 to 5 years, on-the-job mentoring will increase dramatically. So today, 40-some percent of companies have some sort of mentoring program. Most of them aren't that formal. And they think by 2020, 80% of companies are expected to offer some sort of mentoring program.
Okay, let me just stop right there, because I keep hearing this from everybody's talking about what's going to happen by 2020.
Mm-hmm.
You need to wake up, audience. That's only 2.5 years away.
I know.
It sounds like, you know, space odyssey story, but it's only 2.5 years away.
Yes, it really is.
You know, so your results where it takes 38 months to develop a mid-manager without your program.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And we've got 2.5 years, so we got 30 months. You're out of luck.
Yeah. It's interesting that people can see all the research and hear it all and know that they need it, but they're cautious about doing it. And to me, the professional development of their people, all their people, not just their managers that are going to be leading the company, but all their people, will make them a better company all the way through.
You know, I like to equate it to the issue of risk management.
Mm-hmm.
As individuals, we probably all bought life insurance.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because we don't need it today. We don't think we need it today. Hopefully we don't need it today. But we will need it at some point. And we buy earthquake insurance, and we buy flood insurance, and we buy uninsured motorist insurance. And companies buy all of these same kinds of insurance for events that statistically might or might not happen, or might not happen soon. And yet, when you talk to them about spending money on training, spending money on new personnel as an insurance policy to make you successful, they don't look at it that way.
I know. Isn't it fascinating?
And it's cheaper than the premiums on things that aren't going to happen. We're not going to probably have a tornado.
Right.
But we got that insurance we pay every month.
I know. It's so true. That's a good analogy. And the fact that companies won't spend a little up front to get so much more on the back end when they know what's coming is fascinating to me. But I think people are starting to listen. They're starting to understand. You know, mentoring is a word that gets thrown around a lot. I take that seriously because I think sometimes when people say mentor, they really don't mean mentoring. They mean something else. But, you know, the formal structured mentoring programs like DEC provides, I think, are a way to help companies develop leaders and develop them much quicker and put people in that pipeline so that their company can grow and flourish.
Wonderful. Well, look, before we run out of time here, I want to just stop for a second and ask you, is there anything you wanted to talk about that we haven't got to? Because we tend to go off on these side trails. You've so much to share, I couldn't resist interrupting.
Yeah, no problem. I'm good.
You know, I know you talked about your own business and maybe a change in your business model. Did you want to talk about that at all?
Well, yes. Hopefully, by the end of this year or the first quarter of next year, DEC will be licensed, and other people, coaches, consultants, can purchase this and have it as part of their toolbox. So we can have many more people out there doing mentoring and helping companies to grow their people internally. So fingers crossed for me getting all of that done. And we're really excited about that. People can also contact us if they feel that they have a mentoring program that they want to discuss with us. And they can also come to us just for the matching if they wish.
Okay.
So we have a couple of different options in those regards. But the licensing, I think, will really take it to the next level.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah, if you've got a great idea, let's get it out there. And it sounds like your idea is, you've been working on it for years and it's proven.
Yes, tried and true.
Tried and true. Okay, once more, how do people get a hold of you?
They can go to our website at www.decmentoring.com. They can find me on LinkedIn at D. Elliott or Twitter, and they can also look at my Facebook if they wish.
Wonderful. Well, D, thank you very much for being with us today. It has been a pleasure, and I want to welcome you to the Coaching Perspective radio show community.
Thank you so much, Doug. It's been my pleasure being here.
Thank you. Well, look, if you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. Be sure to check out our archives for other shows with some other great guests. And speaking of guests, we're always looking for interesting people to talk to be on the show. So if you're interested, you can drop me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com, or go to the website. There's a place there to sign up for the newsletter or to say that you'd like to be on the radio show. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the show today. Our goal, as always, is to have discussions that provide you with new ideas and information that you can put to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals. I'll be back with you again next week. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the Coaching Perspective, right here in Orange County's only community radio station, octalkradio.net.